Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GPT Infra Projects Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Tandia, Executive Director and CFO of GPT Infra Projects Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the GPT Infra Projects Limited earnings conference call for the first quarter ended June 30th, 2025. I hope you all had the chance to review the financials as well as the presentation, which was uploaded on our website, as well as the website of the stock exchanges yesterday. Some of the significant milestones during the quarter: revenue for Q1 FY26 stood at rupees 312.6 crores, which represents a growth of 32% year-on-year. PAT for Q1 FY26 stood at 23.5 crores, a growth of 40% year-on-year. The consolidated EBITDA was rupees 46 crores for the quarter, representing a growth of 37%. Order book stands at a healthy 3,569 crores, with order inflows of almost 400 crores during the year. The company has declared a dividend, first interim dividend of rupee 1 per share, the record date for which has been fixed on August 11, 2025, maintaining the dividend policy of the company. Some of the key contracts which we have bagged during the year are the rupees 351 crore contract from Agra-Gwalior Highway Private Limited for construction of bridge over Chambal River, and rupees 13 crores from Standard Engineers Limited, Bangladesh, for supply of concrete sleepers to Bangladesh. Now, moving ahead to our financial performance for the first quarter ended June 30, 2025, our revenues for Q1 FY26 were at rupees 310 crores on a standalone basis, which compared to rupees 236 crores last year. This represents a growth of 31% year-on-year. On a consolidated basis, the revenues stood at rupees 313 crores compared to rupees 242 crores for the last year, representing a growth of 30%. Our standalone EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 42 crores compared to rupees 34 crores, a growth of 22%. In terms of consolidated EBITDA, the same came in at rupees 46 crores for the quarter compared to rupees 34 crores last year, representing a growth of 37%. We are quite confident of maintaining our long-term EBITDA target of 13% from the operations, which we have also guided historically. With the improvement in revenue, the operational efficiencies have helped us improve the long-term EBITDA, and we expect the same to be maintained going forward as well. There has been an exceptional growth in the profit after taxes, with consolidated PAT for Q1 FY26 at rupees 24 crores, a growth of 40% from rupees 17 crores in FY25. Standalone PAT for FY26 stood at rupees 23 crores, rising by 29% from 18 crores in FY25. In terms of our segmental performance, our infrastructure segment continues to be the backbone of our business and reported a revenue of 300 crores for the quarter ended June 30, 2025. This represents almost 95% of our revenues. The key contracts for the infrastructure segment continue to perform well, with contracts like NHAI Ganga, Arvind Kona Expressway, Mathura-Jhansi, Rani-Ganj all driving a major part of our revenue. The segment has an order backlog of rupees 3,316 crores. The sleeper segment generated rupees 10 crores as revenue in FY26, driven majorly by performance in our domestic sleeper business and some contribution from the South African subsidiary. This segment has an order backlog of rupees 254 crores. With a thriving order book and reduced debt position, we are well positioned to navigate the dynamic landscape. As we move forward, we are confident in our ability to capitalize on the positive momentum generated by these factors. Our focus remains on maintaining a robust and healthy order book, coupled with continuous efforts to optimize the financial structure, which will lay a solid foundation for our growth trajectory. As of date, the order book stands at 3,569 crores, representing almost three times FY25 revenues, which provides a strong visibility. That's it from my side. Thank you, and I look forward to addressing any questions or concerns you might have regarding our financial performance and future prospects. I now request the moderator to kindly open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vishal Dudwala from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is based on your order book. Like, you have robust order book of 3,569 crore. As you mentioned, 3x from your FY25 revenue. So how is the company gearing up operationally to execute this pipeline? And any capex guidance you would to give us, like, and your timeline to completion this order book?
Sure. So in terms of our capex for the year, if you see, our depreciation number has gone up. So we have done significant capex during the last 6 to 9 months. We expect to do another further capex this year of almost 25 odd crores. This will be for mostly construction equipment. We recently also commissioned a factory for bridge girder manufacturing with an initial capacity of 10,000 tons per annum. We expect to maintain growth in the next 3 to 4 years at almost 20 to 22%, which will be the long-term growth in terms of revenue. The order book of 3,569 crores is expected to be completed over 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay. So your plan is like you will achieve 3,500 crore of revenue by the end of 28 or 29, right?
Well, 28, 29, we expect to achieve almost close to 2,000 crores by FY 27-28.
Okay. And can you break down like what margin you are expecting from this order book?
All our orders are above the hurdle rate of 13% in terms of EBITDA, and we expect to maintain that EBITDA margin going forward as well.
Okay. So, like, as you mentioned, you are planning for a CAPEX. So, which source are you going to plan it? Like, are you diluting or planning for the fundraise via debt or equity, basically?
A lot of our CAPEX has been done through internal accruals. Even the factory at Singur has been commissioned with internal accruals.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from my end. For further question, I will wait in a queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Kotak from Plus 91. Please go ahead.
Hi, Atul sir. Thank you for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations for a good set of numbers. One bookkeeping and question from my end. We noticed that the other income line item is significantly higher this quarter. Could you please provide some color on...
Sorry to interrupt you. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management is disconnected. Please hold while we reconnect them.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now. I'll take the next question.
Yeah, please.
The next question is from the line of Guru Darshan from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, this is related to concrete sleeper segment. Has the production started in Ghana facility? When can we see positive EBITDA contribution from this facility?
So the Ghana facility is expected to start the production this quarter, and the positive EBITDA will start flowing from Q3. There was some delay with respect to the new government getting formed in Ghana. They have resolved all those issues, and we expect the production to start shortly.
Okay, got it. Bookkeeping question. Should we expect 5 to 6 crores of normalized quarter run rate of interest cost going forward?
Yes, I think that 20 to 23 crores for the year is a good number for the interest cost.
Okay, sir. So on the EBITDA margin, while the EBITDA margin is in the range of long-term guidance, is there any specific reason for the decline in EBITDA YOY margin-wise from 14% to 13%?
No, it honestly depends on the contracts getting executed, but it's in terms of the, if you see the full year last year, was at 13.3%, so it is quite close to that number.
Got it. So just on a macro front, are you seeing like government pace of, you know, CapEx in railways and roads and highways?
I think government CapEx continues to be strong, and there is enough and more opportunities for most of the companies like us. And we have also seen order inflows this year, and we expect to see. We are also bidding for certain large contracts. We expect that to also happen as we for during the year, in the balance of  8 to 9 months.
Another question. We have reported around 30% revenue growth this quarter. Is it sustainable for the rest of the quarters as well?
Like I said previously, for the full year, we expect a revenue growth of around 22% to 23%.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavik, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Firstly, sir, congratulations for a really good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. So we have received recently a contract of 351 crore, but I wanted to understand that, you know, after the QIP, I think we are eligible to bid for contracts worth 1,000 crore. So I wanted to understand that, are we facing challenges, you know, to secure such large contracts? Because, you know, it's been almost a year, you know, since the QIP, but we have not secured a very large order as such. Or are we expecting something to materialize this year?
So we are continuously bidding for the large contracts, but we are quite mindful of the margin in terms of EBITDA. And so we do quote contracts within our threshold or the hurdle rate of EBITDA margin of 13%. We are quite hopeful that there are certain contracts that we have bid for recently and are also bidding for in the near term, and we should be able to bag a contract close to 1,000 crore this year.
Okay, sir. Okay, so my second question is also in line with this, and I wanted to understand on the competition, you know, since we are bidding for contracts where we typically see large number of bidders, and typically what I've seen is that, you know, the lowest bid is, you know, much below the estimated cost. You know, in some cases I've seen it 30-35% below the cost. So in such a scenario, how do we ensure that, you know, we keep growing our order book in line with our revenue growth and also maintain 13% EBITDA margin?
Honestly, we don't, we're not guided by the cost when we are quoting for a contract. We are bidding for a contract. We are guided by our own internal cost, not the cost that is estimated by the railways or the NHAIs of the world. So that 30-35% below the cost is not the correct number to look at. If the companies which are bidding for that are able to maintain their margins, that means the cost estimate was maybe an error on part of the agencies.
Okay. But sir, in such a scenario, are we confident of kind of, you know, maintaining our order book, you know, which is 3-3.5 times of our revenue going forward as well?
Yes, we are quite confident. We've done that over the last couple of years, and going forward also, we should be able to maintain that as well.
Okay, sir. And so my last question is that, you know, this quarter we have seen a significant jump in other income. So could you, like, tell the reason for this?
So on a consolidated basis, other income jump has primarily been account of some foreign exchange gain from our Ghana subsidiary, because post the IMF signing of the agreement with the Ghana government, the currency has appreciated there. So that is why it's a mark-to-market gain in Ghana for, on account of that, around 4 crore.
Correct. So we expect this to normalize from next quarter, right? From Q2 onwards.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, and congratulations, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Kotak from Plus91 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. All my questions have primarily been answered. Just some color on the kind of number that we can expect from concrete sleepers for FY 2026 would be helpful.
Thank you. So, in terms of concrete sleepers for FY26, we expect domestic revenues to be around 85 odd crores and consolidated revenues to be close to 140 crores.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivam Revankar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, Atul, can you just give me the current debt position of the company?
Around 140 crores.
140 crores. Okay. And this includes the equipment financing as well, right?
Yeah, it includes everything. It includes equipment finance, bill discounting,
Can I know, what is the company's average inventory days? I mean, as far as I remember, it was somewhere around 90 days historically. So has it gone up?
No, it's around the same number.
Okay. Are you expecting the monsoon this time to, it's seasonally a weak quarter, Atul, but are you expecting it to be better because the monsoon has relatively not been as damaging it was last year? So what's your take on that?
I think in terms of monsoon, July has almost seen 38% extra rain in the eastern part of the country and even in UP.
Monsoon
has been quite heavy in this part of the country in some sense. It's traditionally a weak quarter, so I think that will continue to be a weak quarter.
And my last question is on the large contracts. I mean, the previous gentleman also raised this. You have mentioned that it's primarily because of, the most of the projects find it hard to meet your, hurdle rates. So are you looking for JVs for any larger contract, or are you trying to do it single-handedly?
No, we are eligible to do it single-handedly, and we are doing it single-handedly only.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal from Alpha Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Basically, I wanted to understand the competitive intensity in the last couple of years have been tremendous. There are a lot of small players that have emerged. Now that our capital base is strong and we've been saying that we'll gain orders for 1,000 plus crores, and NHI has made their criteria stringent. So do we see on ground a lot of small EPC players going bust, or what is your take on this? Because on ground, you would know this better. So just wanted to understand on competitive intensities and a lot of small players that have come. How do we compete and stand against them? And according to their costing and our costing, how much are we different in terms of percentage?
Well, I think the competitive intensity continues to be strong. Everybody sees 5 to 6 bids minimum. And when we bid for it, we are quite mindful of our margins as well as return ratios. So we bid according to that. We are happy to let go of contracts which do not meet our threshold numbers, because at the end of the day, we do not feel that does a lot of valuation in the long term. In terms of competitors going bust or not performing, I think that's something that I would rather not speak on. And people do bid for contracts at a lower rate basis their own risk parameters. We have a very disciplined path in terms of where we need to follow, and that is why I think we have been able to keep our head above the water over the last so many years.
Thank you, Mr. Hen.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ishita Lodha from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So in the current quarter, we have booked the impairment loss of about 2.6 crores. So can you throw some light on it?
Yeah, sure. So there are some outstanding dues from certain old customers which have been delayed. It's just a provisioning on the balance sheet as per our impairment policy because of the delay in the receivables from those customers. However, we don't expect those number outstanding to go bad. We are in constant touch with the customers, and the customers have also independently confirmed the balances to the statutory auditors as well as the management. So we don't anticipate to go bad, but the impairment provisioning is just as part of the impairment policy of the company.
So how much are these doubtful letters in your balance sheet, out of total letters?
It's not doubtful. None of them are doubtful in some sense. It's just a delay in receivables. It's not doubtful because, like I said, the balances have been confirmed.
Okay. So out of, I can see 96 crores of receivables. So how much of them have overdue?
96, I think, is the number of March. It is not the June number.
Yeah.
Because the current number is quite much lower. I think the receivables outstanding more than a year is about 20-odd crores.
Okay.
Sorry, 30-odd crores. 30-odd crores.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhavik, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just had a follow-up question. I think as of the last quarter, I debt was 122 crore and currently it is 140 crores. So what is the debt that we are looking by the end of this year?
So, Darlene, debt level would be around 140, 150 crores by the end of the year.
We
do not anticipate to add on too much of debt.
Okay, sir. And so what I remember is last year you had suggested that, you know, by the end of this financial year, we would almost be pledge free. So any update on that? Because currently I think it's 50% of the promoters shares being pledged.
Yeah, so we have already applied to the consortium to reduce the pledge further. The internal rating by the consortium lead member SBI is under process. So once that is done, they will then take it up internally to release a part of the pledge. The external rating continues to be A from CRISIL with a stable outlook. That would also get reviewed sometime at the end of the calendar year. And hopefully, if there is some uptick there as well, the consortium members will find it fit to release part of the pledge.
Okay, okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Poddar from Tusk Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to ask on the other income which you answered. So if I look at the margins excluding the other income for this quarter, it looks around 11.8, whereas it was 13.3 last year. So what is the reason for that and what would be the guidance for this number going forward?
Like I said through the previous caller as well, the other income includes a part of the exchange fluctuation due to the Ghana currency, Ghana in Seri. This number will stabilize. We don't anticipate much more improvement or appreciation in the Ghana currency going forward. And I think that the last year's margin, which you were speaking about, 13.3, also includes the other income. So you have to exclude the other income on an apple-to-apple basis there as well.
Okay. No, I excluded the other income from last year as well. So it was looking higher. So that is why.
I think...
last year, actually, your other income was lower.
6.2 crores. So 6.2 crores.
I can see 1.5 crore for Q1 FY25.
So you're looking at Q1, not the full year.
No, I'm only comparing quarter to quarter.
So this year, if you see, we have also taken an impairment loss of 2.5 crores. So we have to, if you're excluding other income, you have to also exclude all that as well.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, so just a clarification on this EBITDA margins. You're guiding 13% as your long-term aim, and that is without other income, correct?
Correct.
Okay. As for this year, you expect to continue at current levels of 11 to 12%.
No, so this is not 11 to 12%. Means, like I said earlier as well, if you look at this impairment loss and other income, if you were to remove both of them, we are around 13%.
Okay. And I missed your big pipeline and order inflow guidance for the year.
The order inflow, we expect to be around 2,000 crores for the full year, out of which we've already done 400 crores. And we do declare bid pipeline only when we declare L1. Right now, there's no such stage.
So there's no L1 as of now?
Correct.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shivom Revankar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Atul, see this, you know, the currency translation, you know, gain which we have shown, you know, about 6 crores something. So, is that going to...
Four crores, yeah.
Yeah, so is that going to, you know, come into India and be utilized for operations? Or because in the next quarter, if there is a loss...
It's a mark to market.
Okay. Okay. You mean on the assets of whatever you have in Africa?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one.
So, thank you everyone for your questions. I hope we have been able to suitably address all of them. In case you have any further questions, please do get in touch with us. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GPT Infra Projects Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.